Welcome to the Kingdom Life podcast, where we equip ourselves with godly wisdom so that we can go into the world as kings and priests, manifesting all that the kingdom of God is.
I know that's a bold statement to make, but I'm saying that if God wants to transform the world, the vehicle is the church. Amen? And so we as the church need to be awakened to that. Now, like I said, this is quite general. It's not going into great depth, but if you're wanting to span that out and go deep, happy to have those conversations with you. So I'm going to go a little bit further than what Ricky has said. Maybe rather than praying for people after the meeting, I would give that 15 minutes for questions. Does the church do that? Yes. Okay. Amen. One of the things about depression is that it has been, a person feels disconnected. There's a disconnect for life, for flourishing, thriving, abundant life. The person feels disconnected from the life source. And so as soon as you make that statement in a church world, we know exactly what that means, right? We were created for relationship with God. And so one of the things that we find that those, and I, because I speak to the secular world as well, what I'm constantly talking about, a spiritual understanding that you are connected to a transcendent being, that your life is not by, you're not just a random collection of molecules, you know, that is just floating around. That you are created by God. And therefore, there is a connection that needs to happen because he's your source, the source of life. That's why Jesus came to reconnect us to the Father and give us abundant life. So when you're looking at depression, there's a disconnect. So there's firstly a disconnect vertically to God. There's a sense of not in the church. I'm not talking about, oh, they don't love Jesus anymore, or they don't have a faith in God. There could have been circumstances in their lives where they felt that God didn't intervene. You hear what I'm saying? Anybody felt like that sometime?
Yes.
Anybody asked the question, why, Lord?
Yes.
Why has this happened to me? Where were you when this was happening? Anybody?
Yes.
All of us have had that experience. And it is really your perception of who God is within a crisis situation. Within a situation that has brought you immense pain and suffering, where was God when I was hurting? Where was God when this tragedy happened? Where was God? Why didn't he show me that this was about to happen? Why didn't he alert me? If the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, why is it that this hasn't happened? And so what we need to do as a church is to have a clear understanding of the broken world we live in. We have to understand that pain and suffering is part of the human condition. It's not going to go anywhere. We can preach all we want to, and standing in faith and believing that healing is the children's bread, believing that God heals, believing that he sets free, believing all of those things, they're still the part of humanity that is broken and cannot be connected to God. And therefore, no matter how much you preach to a person that is depressed, that truth is not going in because there's darkness that is overwhelmed. You see what I'm saying? So it's not about the truth doesn't have power. It's not about your preaching is not good enough. It is about the person's state of mind and heart and the disconnect they feel with God, especially with depression. There's no way to give words to what depression is. I've experienced depression personally. It's just, there's a hole in your heart. That's the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. There's just a sense of pain, I would say liquid pain. How many of you have melted chocolate and drunk it? I'm not talking about chocolate drinks. I'm thinking just melted chocolate, yeah? Okay, the rest of you are sinners because you don't know these things. This is about comforting yourself. Yeah, you know that when you, that chocolate goes down your throat, and it's just like, and the taste of the meltedness, how you feel a sense of, I think, love and comfort, and you feel a sense of everything's okay in the world. Now think about depression the opposite way. Everything in your mouth tastes like metal. everything in your mouth tastes like acid. It doesn't matter what you are eating. It doesn't matter how good the food looks. It doesn't matter. It's just feeling like it's acid. It feels like when you swallow, everything down your throat begins. I'm talking about the physiological impact of depression. It's just not a mental state, it's a physical state. And the pain is so deep, and the hopelessness and despair is so deep, that no amount of preaching, no amount of praying, no amount of anything is going to bring some kind of healing or some kind of comfort to the person. So when we're talking about the biological, the social, and the psychological spaces that can cause a huge amount of pain, don't forget that God's created us social beings, and that connection is important. So let me talk about some social issues that can impact a person and bring them into depression. God created us for connection to people. So the primary people in our lives, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, aunties, uncles, grannies, grandpas, that group of people, and the child's first interaction with their teachers, who are the primary people in their lives, have a huge impact on how a child will respond to crisis in life. Because the more the child has the three key elements, if you're writing down notes, the three key elements every child should have is, number one, acceptance, unconditional acceptance. Number two, affirmation. That means words that are spoken to the child, over the child, the words of the scripture, this is who God says you are. It is critical for a child because the child is defined in that space. The identity is defined. A child is not born with an identity. A child receives identity, we say, porously. That means that it seeps into the child by the primary people in the life. Because a child doesn't know who he or she is or what their value is. They need for grown-ups and adults around them to tell them who they are. So it's important that affirmation is something that we give liberally. Let me just say again that affirmation is just not for children. It's for everybody. All of us need to be affirmed. God created it that way. So when God is speaking into a world that is uncreated, it's dark, it's empty, and it's unstructured, right? In Genesis, it's dark, it's empty, and it's unstructured. And what God does, he begins to speak. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it is in the saying that creation happens. So it's in the saying of how we speak to one another. Children or adults, there is a creative order that is becoming aligned to that person's spirit. You know what I'm saying? How many of you felt that there was something you couldn't do, but somebody encouraged you and you are able now to do it? Yeah? All right. When I was in school, my worst subject was Afrikaans. Hated it with a passion. And I remember in Standard 6, Mrs. Ganesan, who was my teacher, Afrikaans teacher, said to me, you must do an opstel. Weet jy wat an opstel is, ne? Yeah. So opstel. You have to do an opstel. And every opstel, I had a line going from the bottom to the top. Okay? Sas was telling me, one of his people in his class was writing in Afrikaans about what they did over the holiday. And they said, ek het a bunny cur purchased. Don't ask me which school that was. Don't send your children there. It's close. Thank God it's close. Yeah. So for me, that teacher, I remember writing this opstel, and she looked at it, and she said to me, "This is the moister opstel ek ooit gelees het." Weet jy wat ek sê? It's the best composition I've ever read. She was lying to me, of course. But, you know, I went from being a child that was failing Afrikaans to in matric getting the award and opportunity to go study in Netherlands. By one person's word that spoke to my heart and my spirit, I was able to do what I believed was impossible. Our words unlimit or limit creativity in each other. All right, so let's go to the spiritual. For us to come back, this is where redemption comes in.
Thank you for joining us as we equipped, prepared, and edified ourselves for the week ahead. As you go into the world, may the Lord bless you, protect you, look on you with favor, and keep you. Until next time, God bless.